From Spark and Anvil and MeasureQuest, this is Tick in Chapter 1 of the MeasureQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
Pip was arguing with a clock and losing. "It makes no sense," she said, jabbing the workshop's big wall clock. "Everything else goes in tens. A meter is 100 centimeters, a kilo is 1,000 grams, but an hour is 60 minutes, and a day is 24 hours, and a week is 7 days, and none of those are even friends with each other. Who did this?" Tick looked up from his workbench. He was a cricket, tween-sized, part clockwork. His wings were shimmery little cartoon gears, and a clock face was stitched into his vest. He didn't tell Pip she was wrong. He'd been exactly that angry once at exactly that clock. "People did it," he said. "Different people in different centuries who never met each other. That's why the numbers don't get along." He clicked his stopwatch and it gave a tiny whir. "Come here. I'll introduce you to the whole odd family, one at a time. They've each got a story. None of them fell out of the sky."
He walked into MeasureQuest at 13, and Yard, the old mentor, was oiling the tower gears. Yard didn't ask him to list the units. He asked one thing. "Why isn't a day 10 hours long?" Tick almost laughed with relief. It was the exact question he'd been chewing for years. "Because we didn't invent the day," he said. "We inherited it. 24 came from the Egyptians and Greeks, splitting daylight and dark into 12s. 7 days came from Babylonian and Hebrew calendars. 12 months came from people trying to make the sun and the moon agree, which they never quite do." He caught his breath. "Somebody did try 10. The French, during the revolution. 10-hour days, 100-minute hours. It lasted about 2 years. People just refused. The old numbers had too much of a grip." Yard set down his oil can. "Most students want time to make sense," he said. "You figured out it isn't nonsense. It's history wearing a clock's face. Go on up. The tower's yours to learn."
When Pip demanded her introductions, Tick gave them one machine at a time. He held up the stopwatch. "This one's modern. It can catch a tenth of a second." Whirr. Then the hourglass, tipping it so the sand began to trickle. "This one's medieval. Same job, measuring how long, but it trusts falling sand instead of gears. Last, a tiny sundial. This one's ancient. It reads the sun's shadow. 3 tools, 3 centuries, all telling you the same thing. How much time went past?" Pip pointed accusingly at the clock again. "But the numbers." "I know. Sit." Tick counted them off on his little fingers, and each one got a story instead of a roll. 60 seconds, 60 minutes. That's Babylon, choosing a number that splits nicely. 24 hours, Egypt and Greece, having the light and the dark. 7 days, the old religious calendars. 12 months, the endless argument between the sun and the moon. He tapped his vest. "None of them are natural. They feel natural to you because you grew up inside them. That's all." Then he did the thing that actually helped. "Here, a real one. A film starts at 2:50 and runs 25 minutes. When's it over?" Pip started to write 2:75, and Tick caught her pencil, gently. "Ah, that's the trap. Minutes don't go past 60. 10 of your minutes fill up the 50, roll over into a new hour, 3 o'clock, and you've got 15 left, 3:15. He let go of the pencil. "The odd numbers don't just look weird. They bite right at the 60 line if you don't respect the carry." Pip redid it and got 3:15. She stared at the clock, and some of the fury drained out of her shoulders. "It's not stupid," she said slowly. "It's just old." "It's very old," Tick agreed. "And it was passed down, not handed to us finished. Other people carry different ones, calendars that follow the moon, calendars that braid the sun and moon together, calendars I've never even seen. Ours isn't the only one. It's just the one in this tower." He said it carefully, because his grandfather had taught him that too.
Pip clicked the stopwatch herself and timed how long the hourglass took to run out. She wrote the number down, respecting the carry this time, and didn't complain once. Tick watched her and felt his own little clockwork face relax into an easy smile. He remembered being furious at this exact clock, furious that time refused to be tidy. But somewhere in the years of learning why, the fury had quietly turned into something almost fond. He liked the odd old numbers now, the way you get fond of a grandparent's stubborn habits once you know the story behind them. 60, 60, 24, 7, 12, he murmured, tapping the clock face on his chest. Not natural, not decimal, just handed down and worth carrying carefully. And knowing the why had turned all that old frustration into a strange warm peace.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to TIC. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.